This is a Forwardly podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Colin.
Oh, hi, it's Cadence.
Welcome back.
Coming back
at you live.
But we're both coming back at you at the exact same time every time we talk.
We were just so, like, we did Anaconda last time. For those of you who might have not have seen it, it was a great, fabulous fucking episode. Go watch
it. I know.
Listen.
I realized that. Go watch it. I mean, also watch it and listen to our episode. You'll be grateful either way. I was going to say that I noticed I kept calling it a film, and I was like, that might sound pretentious because I think film is reserved for like art house theater.
Oh, but film is like you're watching, like a film is like Titanic is a film, Atonement is a film.
I was thinking like Gladiator is a film.
Well, that's true.
It's like small and artistic.
Well, no, I was thinking like Les Miserables, like the new one, like that is like a film.
Maybe. I'm thinking of film as like a smaller, more artistic endeavor versus like a big theater experience.
That's true.
Either way, I was thinking, you know, it's a film to me. It's a class. Mm-hmm. It's a classic to me. It's a small artistic film in my heart. So
film to me is like, yeah, it's like something that you like that really like as a masterpiece. The reverence or revenants. Was that the one?
The Revenant.
Revenant. With that was on the Leonardo DiCaprio and the bear, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a film. It's like artistic and like the cinematography and the acting, and like it's big budget, and you just have to sit down and like really buckle in for a ride.
So, you that's never watched it?
No, I never did.
So, what you're saying is,
never watched it. Not one time.
A movie you've never seen.
Well, yes. So we watched Anaconda, which was so good for us. And so we got thinking, because we did mention, I think for the second time in this podcast series, about Creature Cam. And Creature Cam was like something right. that Cadence and I had like thought about and talked about and trademarked, because it's like one of our, what did you say last time? It's our like litmus test.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If it immediately has Creature Cam, we're like, this is going to be good. No questions asked.
Yep.
This is going to be good.
If a movie has a Creature Cam, always good. So then we were kind of thinking like, well, what else makes a really good B movie? Like, let's talk about it. That's why we're talking about it today with you.
Let's talk about it, girl.
Let's talk about it, girl. What makes a B movie to you? And we're not, okay, so we want to be very clear. So there's like the basics of what makes a B movie that everybody kind of knows. And we're going to review those before we start, just to get real easy with you guys. And then we're going to kind of jump into what makes like for
easy with you guys.
Real easy. And then we're going to say what we both think makes like a really good B movie in our world.
Speaking of real easy, we forgot to celebrate Jason Momoa's birthday last week.
Oh, I know. You texted me and I was going to take the day off.
In remembrance, in celebration
of J-Mo, in celebration. I know, I don't want to say remembrance, definitely. Well, remembrance of his hot bod in Baywatch, Hawaii, but he's got an even hotter bod now.
I just want to say, J-Mo, I have a feeling you're listening, and I just want to say happy birthday, belated. We love you. You've given us a gift that keeps on giving. We are forever indebted to you. You have bonded us together for life. Thank you.
Jason Momoa. I know. I was just like, I was thinking like, I was going to do like open mic poetry. Jason Momoa, 2001. Boy, TV, beach, surf, tan skin, hair.
Sexual.
Sexual energy.
Awakening.
I want to know about him.
You took me. Do you remember this? We went to an open mic night for poetry because I used to write poetry. And I used to do open mic nights, and then I moved back home to Phoenix and you were living there, and I was really nervous because I'd only done open mic nights at very small, like little tiny record stores in Utah. And then you were like, we're going to find some place. We're going to do it. So then we found this place in downtown Phoenix, and then I was too chicken to actually put my name on the list. So you did it for me. You went and wrote my name on the list so they would call my name and I wouldn't have a choice. And I went up there and I read my poetry in front of a huge room of strangers just because of you. You made me face my fear.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
You did something
Are you sure about this? Are you sure this wasn't your husband? Because I do not remember this at all.
Well, as we all know, cocaine rots your brain.
Oh, wait. Was it that place like that only? Oh, I think I do know. I used to go and love get chai tea.
It was like downtown.
Yeah, it was like it downtown was and it was like a little house.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
So
I
do remember.
I remember vaguely, you know. I don't remember anything past last week.
Okay, so maybe not the experience,
week.
But...
Yeah, you're asking a lot. You expect me to remember something past like a week ago. Yeah, I do. I know that place. It had really good chai tea and I always felt like really central perky because like Phoenix, Arizona, you guys, doesn't have any culture. It's the most vanilla. I love it for all of those out in Phoenix. Beautiful, beautiful city. Very lots
you
of space.
You lived there for a very
lots of clean.
Long time.
I was there for a while, yes.
Did you just say lots of clean?
No, I said lots of space and it's clean. Oh, did I say lots of clean?
I don't know. We can check back, but it sounded like you said lots of space, lots of clean.
Lots of space, lots of clean. No, I think I meant to say lots of space and it's very clean, which I love, but it's very vanilla. There's not a lot going on. It's like you don't like people, they're like, what's Thai food? So I remember this place was kind of like quirky and had a little bit of like, you know, it was like artistic and kind of indie and different. And I just thought it was the one place in Phoenix that I was like, this is so cool.
That's the same summer that we bought season passes to that water park and it had that wave pool with the white kind of like beachy sides. Do you remember?
Oh my gosh. Yes, and I worked there.
We would just lay there for hours.
Oh, yes. Well, there was three different ones. There was like Big Surf and there was two other ones. I can't remember their names, but I worked at Big Surf, remember? Mm-hmm. And my skin was leather.
That's also the time frame. I'm having all these memories, but that's also the time.
I know. This is a walk down memory lane. What happened in this year? Jeez.
When you found Chauncey Wiesel.
Oh, Chauncey Pheromone Wiesel. Oh, no. You guys, let's just say back in the day, I was a little bit of a strange kid. I was strange.
Okay. We cannot quantify it with a little bit. You were strange.
I was very strange.
But you were also like 19 at this point.
Yes. But me and my friend were walking home in Tucson, Arizona, and we found this old trash bag with this half dead, what I thought was a rat. And then we got up to it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a ferret. I love ferrets so much. And so I tried to like... I don't know what I was thinking. I took the ferret and I stuck him in my closet in Phoenix, Arizona. Tried to keep him a secret from my roommates. He would bite me, claw me every day. And I tried every day to feed him little baby milk and little food. Got him back to a healthy place. Then I had to take him to the vet. And they were like, this is a Mexican weasel. It's not a ferret. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, no, this is a ferret. And they're like, no, this is absolutely a Mexican, like, weasel mongoose thing. And I was like, you are kidding me.
I'm dying. I have never.
You didn't know that part?
Part of the story.
Yes. I took him in my backpack to class at my university, which, was very weird. He was like, you guys, he was a wild freaking animal. And I thought it was a ferret. And then they showed me a picture of a ferret and then a weasel. And I was like, oh, my God. You guys, a weasel, he was like 10 times the size of a ferret. He was huge. He had big feet, big head. And I was just like, no, it's a ferret. I know, whatever it is. Nope.
I'm literally crying right now.
Every single day, I tried so hard. I thought he was going to like sit on my shoulder and like hang out with me. But no, he just bit me, clawed me nonstop. So I would open my closet door and I would throw food in there and then slam it. And it was like shaking the door and I'd be like, oh, Chauncey, because I named him Chauncey Pheromone. And then the reason his last name was Wiesel is because I found out he was a weasel. First, his name was just Chauncey Pheromone.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe right now. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was that was a wild summer. Most people go to Cancun for spring break and adopt
a
weasel.
Oh my God, I can't breathe.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I think he said, I can't remember. He definitely was like, it's a weasel. And I think he said they were like common in Mexico. Like they were very common. I don't know where somehow, but it was bizarre.
I have spent like whatever 20 years thinking you nursed someone's ferret back to health because they abandoned it in a hamster, but you just took a weasel.
I just took a half dead weasel home. And not only did I take a half-dead weasel home, it lived in my closet, and it would, like, shake the closet, and I would be tell my roommate, like, oh, I don't know what that is. And every
night.
My
shoes must have fallen.
Yeah, my shoes must have fallen, and then I took it to class, and my backpack, it was a swimmer backpack, so it had a lot of ventilation, but he was, like, moving and rustling, and I had to, like, leave class. It was a I was taking him to class because I had to go to the vet afterwards, so I couldn't go back.
Because the thing is, I met Chauncey so many times, so I vividly remember his musk.
Mm-hmm. And him being angry.
Yeah.
And not
I thought maybe it was just trauma from being abandoned.
No,
but he's like, no, some idiot. I was living my best life foraging in dumpsters and some idiot locked me in a closet.
I know. He probably wasn't half dead. He probably like just got so drunk on his best life that he like passed out. And I thought he was half dead. I thought I was doing this great thing. And all I wanted was a ferret. And he really would bit me. Never one time let me hold him. He would hide.
I'm surprised you didn't get rabies.
I know. It was bad. He even ran away one time, and I even made a freaking poster. And he just wanted to get back the wild.
Can I please find my weasel? He's yes. like, I'm just trying to get back home.
No, at that point, I thought he was my ferret still. So I was like, can everyone bring my ferret to me?
And that's hilarious that you made a poster for it. And
But he actually wasn't gone. He was just hiding.
So
no one actually called or anything. No one cares about a freaking weasel. So then I was like, Chauncey, we're back together. Anyway, yes, wild summer. Lots going on that summer.
I'm dying. I did not know that. I'm dying. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. I and I don't know how I didn't hear it.
Remember when I had the two ducks?
No.
Oh, that'll be another time, you guys.
Okay.
And then I made our backyard swimming pool a fish tank. Oh, Anyway, Dennis the Menace. I don't know what I was thinking, and I was sober, you guys. I was not doing it. I wasn't drinking or smoking pot. Well, sometimes, but I was pretty much sober, and I just my brain's on a different level.
It really is.
All right, so let's talk about what makes like a basic B. All right, let's do like the top tier, like umbrella. We all know that budget is a big part of what makes a B movie.
Yeah, so it's not always defined by budget, as Anaconda just proved to us.
Oh, Battlefield Earth.
Excuse me. Oh, I shouldn't even be using Anaconda. Is a masterpiece compared to Battlefield Earth, and that had a shit ton of money behind it. Right, totally. Can't always guarantee it, but budget is usually a factor.
Yes, it's usually a lower budget, which leads us to our next thing that makes a B movie is like the CGI or the special effects that they use because of probably their budget. It's like maybe the guy down the road made like a car bomb type thing. Like it's real bad. Mm-hmm. Birdemic is one of the best CGI movies I've ever seen.
Right.
Where the birds actually didn't move. They were like, what do you call it?
Stationary?
Like they were stationary and only the baby little tips of their wings moved. And it looked like clip art. It looked like he put clip art over the scene.
Right.
That was really good CGI.
Yeah. And it's like, it can extend, and maybe this is its own category, but I think it's kind of encompassing all of it. Usually there are questionable choices when it comes to wardrobe, hair, and makeup in general.
Yeah. Something doesn't feel quite right about it. Mm-hmm. Like, what time period is this? It's all bad.
There's like a lack of attention to detail, maybe, is the best way to put that.
Yeah, I could say that. Another one is usually there's really not very well thought out plots at all. So you'll either have too many plots going on at once that one doesn't make sense with the other or tie in and there's no follow up. Or the main plot has several plot holes in it. It's just, again, not a very well thought out plot. That does not mean it's not entertaining. It just means that it's just, there's a lot of plot holes in it. And then I think one of the biggest ones is definitely, for Cadence and I, self-awareness. The best B movies are the ones that really think they're being kind of transformative, or they're making like some kind of impact on like our psyche.
Cinema. And like,
yes, they just think they're doing so well. Like Anaconda, like, you know, they just thought it was this cool, like, movie that was going to really get people talking about snakes. And and like Battlefield Earth, I think I'm pretty sure John Travolta thought that Battlefield Earth was going to be the new like Lord of the Rings status. Like I think he
thought
it was going to be
big. I think I told you that I read an article about that movie because when we first watched it, I was like trying to get some context for it.
Well, remember, because it was L. Ron Hubb.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely know the background of the writer, but John Travolta was like mainly responsible for getting it done in Hollywood, but he was such a proponent of it, such a cheerleader for it. He literally told people, the press beforehand, that it was like Schindler's List, but in space.
Oh my God. Yes. That's mm-hmm. what, oh my God. He compared Battlefield Earth to Schindler's List. Mm-hmm. He thought it was going to be just revolutionary. And let me tell you, it was. It really was. If you want to talk office politics, but set in a space setting, then watch Battlefield Earth. You will know about HR.
It'll blow your mind.
Lots of, you guys, we're definitely doing Battlefield Earth because it's so good. But we watched it and we were dying. It's literally like office politics. Like, the guy's, he's an alien and he's like trying to get a promotion and his friend's mm-hmm. trying to get the same promotion mm-hmm. and they like go through office files. It's bizarre. The only thing is, it's just take him out of space and take off the makeup and it would be like, okay, this is like, I don't know, an office drama.
Oh, this is The Office?
Is it? Well, not even funny. It's not even funny. It's like, oh, this is just a drama about like bankers.
And okay, let's be fair. It's office politics in space, but everyone has an extra finger.
Oh, yeah. The aliens have an extra finger, which makes doing office politics a lot harder.
Because you don't have 10 options. You've got 12.
Okay, so anyway. Those are the basic of the B movies. Okay, so yeah. Usually, typically low budget, really bad scripts. Oh, and there's a plethora of other things, but those are like the main things. You guys get it. But Cadence and I, we were like thinking, like we said earlier, what makes a good B movie for
us? Oh, wait, you know what? I wanted to say, I feel like we should make a note that something really interesting happened in movies and B movies. So Sharknado. So Colin and I used to watch all of these bad B movies, right? Like, we've talked about this. This was our life's journey and it was our life's mm-hmm. joy to find all mm-hmm. these crazy, weird, obscure, sometimes sci-fi, sometimes not.
And not just movies, also television, like we said. Like, Baywatch Hawaii is absolutely B.
Land of the Freaking Lost. Anybody? Land of the Lost.
Pacific Blue was pure B.
So the point is that these were movies that we actively sought out. And then when Sharknado happened, I think partially because of who was cast in it, it became such a cultural, like, touchstone. It became, like, part of the zeitgeist that then those movies became self-aware. So then Sharknado got, like, bigger and weirder because the mainstream, for the first time ever, the mainstream was embracing the bizarreness of these B movies on sci-fi. So that's where this, like, divide happened, because now we see more self-aware, low-budget movies a la Thanksgiving.
It's very true. You've got a total point, because before Thanksgiving, it wasn't really like that. And then after Sharknado. Before Sharknado, it wasn't really. You did have the science fiction movies on sci-fi that were just, they were amazing. But then Sharknado came, and then you started having like pterodactyl versus piranha, and you would have like octopus versus shark man. And then like it started to get really bizarre. And those movies are not B movie in our world because they're trying too hard to be silly. And to be ridiculous. And a true B movie doesn't need to try that hard.
No, they don't. Just be earnest. Just be earnest.
Oh, Ernest Scared Stupid. That was the scariest movie for me. I remember crying. The Trolls in the Tree.
Oh, did I tell you about how my oldest child one time goes, my style, I based most of my style around those movies from when I was a little kid. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know that guy who wore jeans and a vest and a hat? And I was like, Ernest? It was Ernest. And I was like, it clicked for me.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
So much sense just was made.
Katie's son has so much Ernest in him. It is,
I know,
pure
it made
Ernest
so
style.
Much sense. It made so much sense. I was like, oh, it's all coming together for me, child.
What a true hero. Ernest really shaped, talk about growing up in movies. He really shaped some of our, he was such a, I mean, I don't know much about the actor. I know that he died from lung cancer, which was really sad. Mm-hmm. But I think he was just like an overall good guy, I think. I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
I believe so.
But he made a lot of movies for kids, and he made a lot of kids very happy.
Except for you, because you were scared shitless.
I was scared
apparently.
Shitless. Those trolls, Ernest Scared Stupid was so scary. The Trolls in the Tree. I digress. All right, Cadence. So tell me, what's the first, one of the first things that makes a B-movie in your world?
Well, for sure, it has to have some, I mean, like I said, not all B movies are sci-fi movies, but it's preferable for me if there is a sci-fi element or maybe like a natural element, that it's something
like
where
you mean an unnatural element.
Oh, you're right. I stand corrected. Something where science has gone wrong, or simultaneously something we thought was extinct is not extinct.
It's very specific. We have seen a lot of movies where something that we thought was extinct turns out it's not, you guys. Turns out it's not. And some things that we didn't know were extinct, like Snow Beast.
Exactly. So you know what? I live my life like, if someone's like, that's extinct, I'm like, don't count on it.
I also agree with you. That was on my list as well. Like, there has to be some kind of, always there's some kind of like thing that could never happen in real life. Some kind of bizarre, like unnatural sci-fi or like space element that also doesn't make any logical sense at all.
I feel like maybe you are implying that ice spiders are not realistic, and I feel personally offended by that, but okay.
Sand sharks? Like, what is the function of a sand shark? Like, how does a shark swim through condensed sand on a beach?
How are they getting their oxygen with their gills?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that are not answered.
Mucking up the system.
All right. How do they not get sand through their teeth, their mouth, their eyes? Is there a permeable layer over their eyes? We don't know.
I don't know. They haven't told us. So that's what you've expounded on that. Like, it's just something that makes no sense and serves no purpose. At least if it's science gone wrong. Usually in that scenario, it's like scientists are trying to do something to better mankind. A la... Deep Blue Sea, where they're trying to get rid of Alzheimer's disease with shark brain juice. I mean, Jurassic Park also is not making the world a better place, but they are trying to make a really fun amusement park, so
for families
trying
to spend time. Yeah. But Jurassic Park was not a B movie.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, when I talk about science gone wrong, or like scientists who are trying to do something and it came back to bite them in the ass, like,
I get it. Literally.
I can't think of any. I mean, I could think of a whole plethora. Like, there's one called Hammerhead, and it's about a guy who turns himself into half of a hammerhead shark. Like, if you really could make yourself half a shark,
why would you pick Hammerhead?
You can't even open your mouth or, like, see two things out. Your eyes are, like, on the sides of your head.
You would
What's
be running into nonstop things. And your little baby beaker mouth. Like, the tiniest mouth. You couldn't even bite anyone or hurt anybody. That's the worst shark to make yourself.
I know. I'm like, but if you're really going to invest this much time and energy into becoming a shark, like Hammerhead, really? Really? Mm-hmm. At the very least, Tiger. At the very least. Well, we all know Great White.
Yeah, well, we also know Megalodons, which...
Well, that, but...
Okay, Cadence and I... This movie, you actually cannot stream it. We have tried so many times. There's nowhere to find. You can't even find it, like, illegally online. But this also was one of the first movies that started our journey into the B world. It was called Megalodon, and I think it was made in 2000 or 2002.
It was early on, yeah. It was really early on.
And like we said, we thought it was extinct. It's not. Scientists trying to do something good at the bottom of the ocean. Megalodon not having it. But that was the cream of the crop when it comes to B movies. Oh, it was so good.
I mean, when we're talking special effects, like, to give an example, in Megalodon, they're standing on this outcropping in the ocean, right? They've made this
sea laboratory.
I think it was like an
iceberg or something, was it? Like, was
no,
it
no, they've made a laboratory in the oceans, kind of like Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
So they're standing outside. There is a hurricane happening outside.
Hurricane.
Not one hair is moving, not one person is wet, not one sound of wind. All you see is this really bad, like, digital rain kind of in the foreground. Yeah.
Like,
and you're like, yeah. You're like, okay, well, and they're like, oh, the whole lab's gonna go under. And it's like, well, doesn't seem like anything's happening,
right? They're like, oh my god, this is crazy weather. And her hair was perfect. Not even one bang. It wasn't perfect because, it's a B movie styling. But, like, not one bit of hair was moving. Like, they didn't even try. Like, someone get a fucking blow dryer and just blow her, okay? Like,
just
do something.
Pretend. Someone just off
pretend,
screen.
Right? But you're right.
So anyway.
I have one that says, there's always in a B movie some character that is, like, wildly trying too hard or acting, like, way just abnormal, and they are
like
usually
at an 11.
What? Yeah,
they're like usually at an 11.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're like the comic relief character, or sometimes they're just a bizarre character that's trying to act too much. And oh, it's a guarantee.
Like trying to steal the show.
Mm-hmm. Trying to steal the show. There's always one. Sometimes it's not a big character. Sometimes it can be a really sized small character.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. But there's always that one person that's acting completely bizarre. And you kind of find yourself wondering, like, how did this person get into this group of friends, this laboratory,
right,
this group of coworkers? Like, how did this person live his life or her life in a way to enter this scenario? Because they are batshit crazy.
It also makes me think of Thanksgiving, that really goofy dude that they brought with them for Thanksgiving.
The weirdo.
Break.
The weirdo one. Yes.
Because exactly. It was like he wasn't cool or popular. He wasn't part of their group. They just picked him up on campus randomly, and he was such a perv.
Prime example.
I'm going to have sex. I'm going to touch boobs. And it was like, who are you?
No one knew who he was. Yes. It's like, what? How? I want to know the backstory of these crazy characters.
Yeah.
It's so cuckoo. It's bizarre. But yeah, I think that always happens. You're always going to find one of those people.
There's also always...
a good example. John Voight in Anaconda.
Yeah.
That's what exactly what I was talking about. Wildly bizarre character that makes no sense.
I thought he made perfect sense, but maybe that's just me, because I know what I know. I think there's also always an awkward sex scene or something they think is going to be very sexy but isn't, or it involves water of some kind. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
There's a waterfall involved. There's rain involved. There's a woman who's wet through and through involved. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I mean, Jennifer Lopez, we're quoting Anaconda a ton because we just watched it, but think of how much she's wet in that movie. Just think about every movie. Brooke Hogan in Two-Headed Shark.
Oh, Brooke, you were so good. I actually
was
thinking...
There's like a three-way sex scene in that, and it's just absolutely
horrible. You're absolutely right, because I watched a really bad B-movie. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about... Well, there's still a lot of questions I was asking, because I think it was about a mutant creature inside of the skin of a cat, but I couldn't find out if the cat was mutant or if a creature was living in the skin of a cat. Anyway, he goes on a boat and he kills it. The cat kills everybody on the boat, but he walks in on two people having sex. And again, you don't know if it's a cat or a creature in a cat, and it just claws the guy's face and then they die. But the sex scene was so awkward. It was the worst.
Oh, and we're totally forgetting Birdemic, which is like when you have sex in your bathing suit.
Next to an Imagine Peace sign glued to your wall.
In the grossest hotel room you can find.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sex
in Anaconda. I just realized
There was. There was almost sex with Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson and producer girl. Mm-hmm. That's right. Before the wild boar almost got him.
Which was awkward because they were going to do it in the jungle.
So dumb.
Okay, this is not... Again, all of these are like not always necessary. Just my favorite things. So one of them is it has to be or is often set on an island.
Oh, lots of times. Lots of island. Because it always is something that's going on that's sneaky.
Yeah, it has to be contained space.
Always.
So it's like you only have so many places you can go when you're on an island, or Deep Blue Sea, Megalodon, you're on a rig you built specifically in the ocean. Mm-hmm.
You're stuck somewhere, yeah. You're stuck on a boat in Anaconda. You can't go anywhere.
Exactly.
Actually, that does... I'm going to go off of your last point. I have another one, but I'm going to go off your last point of like the sci-fi element. There's usually always some kind of like experiment, medical facility, like you said. That really ties into the island. You always have a medical facility that's doing something weird in some weird spot that usually goes wrong.
Some head scientist who's getting real big for his britches...
Mm-hmm. yep, he is. Okay, mine is clearly one we talked about before, but creature cam. There's always a creature cam.
And
a good B-movie has a good creature cam, and like Caden said in Anaconda, if it's like distorted or like a fisheye lens or there's weird music when you see creature cam, that is like 1,000 times better. You know it's going to be that much better of a movie.
I'm going to one-up you... the distorted lens with you have bonus points if there is an appendage attached to it.
What do you mean? What do you
like
mean?
Like in Sabretooth, where there's like that paw that's glued to the bottom of the camera.
Oh my God. Or like in the Baywatch time. When the bear gets her and the claw's just like,
yes. And so there's just like, mm-hmm. like a taxidermied hand on the bottom of the camera. So it looks for your creature cam. So mm-hmm. it's POV of the creature.
And just in case you don't, paw. In case you don't realize it's the creature cam, they have to like enforce it with the fake paw or the mm-hmm. fake, yes. Or mm-hmm. if there's noises, too, like in Anaconda when it's, like, making that weird growling yeah. noise.
Like and that
if
hissing.
If there's some kind of noise that's going on with the creature cam as it's going yeah. around.
I also think there's, like, a theme of the first creature you see isn't the actual creature or monster. It's actually the baby of the monster. Mm-hmm. But there's mm-hmm. also an offshoot of this thematically, which is... The first creature you see is kind of cute, or you think it's non-threatening, and then, just kidding, you're being a condescending asshole, because of course you can't control nature.
No way. No way.
Of course you're gonna get killed.
And that's, you know, now that we're saying this, there's so many things that I'm thinking about. It's coming.
I know. Because like
one
a
of
file.
The other ones is... One
a file cabinet
is,
of movies
yeah,
in
like
my
a
brain.
File cabinet of there's it's always nature related. Most B mm-hmm. movies that you can think of are like nature, weather, science, like it's something like that. It's always Mother Earth coming back or extinct mm-hmm. animals or something like that. Almost
or
always.
Scientists who are messing with nature that think they know better than Mother
and
Earth.
And they don't. And then Mother Earth comes back and attacks them. Okay, I have one. It's that there's always like some kind of there's always a very good, like, polarizing, like, someone is always very good. Always, like, the hero.
Right.
Very much so the hero. Very much someone who can do anything and has this, like, they can do no bad. And then there's always, like, a very, very clearly bad person who has no redeeming qualities. It's like, there's no in-between. There's no gray areas.
There's
like,
no, I was just going to say, no shades of gray.
No shades of gray.
They're,
it's
like,
the
caricatures.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I have one. A good one.
Okay.
Like, there's no creativity. There's, like, the creative team is probably not there, mostly. So, like, there's no... It's always, like, a copy of another movie. Or, like, the monster is always some weird knockoff of another monster. It's not quite like a Sasquatch. It's more mm-hmm. of, like, a Smashmatch. And it's, like, something that's kind of Sasquatchy, but it has, like you said, like, one extra finger, like Battlefield Earth. And it's just, like, mm-hmm. just that one little thing to make it, you know... different than other movies, and it's always kind of like okay, you clearly
like it's okay. Sort of just like yeah like they're I was gonna make a joke about it and then I run off my mind because I lost my train of thought because then I remembered that Sasquatch movie we watched about that Sasquatch who would just peep
yes!
on people.
He was just a peeping Tom Sasquatch. I asked you to find that. I wanted to see that so bad. It was this the best. That was one of the first major B movies I saw where the Sasquatch just came and you guys all he did was watch women in water, changing, having
and it's
like
sexualized
in water.
We have enough pervy guys. Like we don't need to make an imaginary creature be pervy to be scary. Thanks, you got that covered.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything but perv people out. But yeah, exactly. It's like that.
Is it like that?
It's like that. What's yours? What's another one?
Well, this is like not. This is just an observation more than a requirement, but there always has to be a woman wearing khakis. Always.
Oh.
Always.
She's the smart one. She's a smart, sensible one, and I bet you she will never die.
Yes, you are totally right.
Just gonna throw that out there. She'll wear
that
khakis.
That is an observation I had not made, but you're right. That's like the proof that she is the sensible one. I hadn't even thought about that.
Because B movies like to follow tropes real bad. Mm. Real bad. Like, you think...
They
like,
be following tropes.
Huh?
They be following tropes.
They be following tropes real bad. So there's always like the slutty girl who's immediately slutty and immediately killed. You
know,
they follow those.
Can we leave that one behind? Like a sexually liberated woman does not deserve death.
Always first, you know? Oh, and also, we could go on forever. I just keep thinking about it. Sometimes the size of the creature... It never
changes.
Always. It's a good B movie if the creature is always like drastically changing sizes. Like we watched a movie one time where these snakes that were like not really snakes, they were like eels that had sharp teeth and they were very sassy the way they moved. I mean, they just sashayed down those.
They were carrying
sewers.
Eels.
They were
for
carrying
sure.
eels. But like they were small enough to go through like shower drains, and then the next day they were like big enough to go through like they would like break down your front door, and like the size variables were wildly different every time.
As soon as you said it, I was like, yes, the perspective is always changing.
Always different. Always. It, like one thing is huge. Even when it was Baywatch Glacier Bay, when the bear is chasing her and they're using a live bear, you guys, it's like the size of a small dog.
It's like a baby black bear. It's clearly
a baby black bear. But then they use these other clips where it's like a grizzly bear that's 5 times bigger. And then off of the creature cam paw that they had on the end, it's like giant. It's the, what do you call that? The proportions, I guess? Or the...
Yeah, like the perspective.
Perspective is always wildly off on those creatures. Any or anything in the movie, it's always wildly off.
Yeah, there's like a lack of consistency for sure.
Oh yeah, consistency. There's no could be movie, no consistency.
Oh, in reference to perspective, we see Megalodon. Okay, so everybody's seen the Megalodon like in a science book or whatever. We all love sharks, right? And Megalodon, they're enormous. And they give you that, they take time to tell you and show you in the movie how big a Megalodon is compared to other creatures, right? And they show you its mouth and its jaw and its prehistoric skeleton. And then they find a Megalodon tooth on the beach. And it's like the size, not even a great white tooth. It's the tiniest tooth you've ever seen. And she's like, look at this. It's a Megalodon tooth. And it's the size of a baby shark's tooth.
They just don't, it's like someone, anyone, just be like,
no, no one's paying attention to detail. All you need to do is make a plaster tooth, like a make-believe plaster tooth.
Seriously, guys. Just get a snow cone. Just get a snow cone, little cone thing, and turn it upside down. Use that as a tooth.
Look at this tooth.
Look at this tooth. It looks really papery, but it's a tooth. Ugh, there's so many. I think we could go on and on. I think we could go for days about what makes a good B-movie.
I know, but we promised that we would make this a mini episode. So.
Well, those are some good ones, and we're happy. Like, we're probably going to do a couple of these. We're going to have a couple other B-things that...
we have one. We have, like, a game in mind, so yeah, be on the lookout.
Yeah,
we got a game in mind,
so... Yeah, exactly. And stay tuned for that. But you guys, what makes a B-movie to you? Like, does anyone have any suggestions? Like, does anybody have anything that, like, quintessentially makes a B-movie?
Feedback.
That we missed? Yeah, we want some feedback. We want to hear what makes a B-movie for you guys. Or what you like in your B-movies.
Yeah, what are you always looking for? What do you got your eye out for?
What you be looking for.
Good one.
All right, well, today was quick. It was easy. We love you.
That's how I like it.
Quick and easy. Yeah. That's how I like my B movies. Quick and easy.
But they never are because no one's editing them. No, they're always editing. 2.5 hours.
Pennies from Heaven is 4 days long. We're still trying to finish Pennies from Heaven. We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to another episode of Bruh, It's a Podcast. Every week we convince you why you shouldn't hate millennials.
Best TV series of all time is Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones.
Anything that's not the two of those. The best series of all time is 24. Wake up.
My love language is gifts because I love when women pamper me.
You also, bro, love languages are stupid. I don't have language. Speak to my penis.
I don't know who Sade is.
You should be shot in your face.
I still don't know who Sade is.
The finest female singer of all time has to be Jennifer Lopez.
Whoa!
Yeah, if you take singer out of it.
Check us out Thursday. Find us on Instagram @BruhIt'sAPodcast.